I want to start out today, and I've got several different places in the Word of God I want to go, but to start off with, since this message is about faith, I want you to turn with me into the faith chapter of the Bible. Now, who knows where that's at?
Wow.
Who knows where the faith chapter of the Bible's at? Where is it at?
Hebrews
what?
11.
Hebrews 11. We got some people in here that have studied the Word of God. Now then, let's turn to Hebrews 11. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you for your Word. I thank you and praise you that you're a God that's a faith God, and that if we don't have this stuff, we can't get nowhere with you. But when we have it, you're pleased with us. Now, we know you love us regardless, but you're not pleased with us without faith. But with faith, you're happy. So, Lord, I want to thank you for your Word that tells us what you like and what you don't like. And I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now then, also, before I actually speak on what I want to teach on Hebrews 11, Katie had such a tremendous message right here. And some of you got that and some of you didn't get that. But I'm going to tell you that this little lady has either learned a great principle or she was just fortunate. She knew. She knew because she'd heard me tell the story. Okay, that's how she knew. Now, you noticed what she did. How many of you picked up on what Katie did as a woman in her home that's the child that's under her God, that has her own children and has her own husband? How many of you noticed where Katie went when she started hurting? Where did she say she went? Where? To her husband. The husband is the priest of the home. And if you want your prayers answered, ladies, Jesus told you clearly to submit yourselves to your husband in how many things?
All.
What do we not understand about women? He didn't say women there. He said wives. Wives, submit yourself to your husband in all things. Now, the reason Katie went to the Lord, or went to her husband, went to the Lord through her husband, is because I told a story about what my precious woman, my wife, went through just recently. She had a similar situation, just like yours. She was just burning like fire in the lower part of her body, just like Katie was. She had been suffering for 2 days. Now, she had prayed. She's a woman of faith. She knows the Word of God. She's walking in obedience to God's Word. But she had went to the Lord and prayed for 2 days, and not anything happened. So she didn't know what was wrong. She's rebuking the devil. She's doing everything. But nothing's happening. The pain is still there. Finally, the second night, I'd already gone to sleep. She reached over. I don't know what time it was. Pretty late, because we never go to bed early. Early for us is 2 or 3 in the morning. That's early. So I don't know what time it was when she woke me up, but she reached over and tapped me. She said, "Honey, I hate to wake you up, but," she said, "I've got this fire in my stomach." You know what I mean, don't you, Katie? Katie had the same thing. "I have this fire. It's burning. I am miserable. I can't sleep. You've got to pray for me." I said, "How long have you had it?" She said, "About 2 days." She said, "I've prayed and prayed and nothing's happening." There we are laying there in bed. I just reached my hand under the cover and put my hand right there on her stomach. And I said, "You devil of hell, I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus." I did it as bold and as forceful as I knew how with the Word of God. Because Jesus said he bore our pain on the cross in Isaiah 53:4. So if Jesus bore your pain, he didn't plan for you to have it. And then he said in Matthew 8:17 that he bore our infirmities and removed our disease. So if Jesus bore our infirmities and he removed our disease, he didn't plan for his church to be sick either. So guess who was there? A devil. A demon.
Beast.
And so whenever I reached over there and put my hand on her stomach and I rebuked that thing and commanded to leave, I'm going to tell you, it left instantly. It left instantly, and in just 2 or 3 minutes, Cheryl was asleep, and the next morning she woke up, she said, "Wow, I won't never do that again." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Next time I have a problem, I'll go to my head." And she did exactly what the Lord says. He said, "Do you women that really love your husbands and you're obedient to them in all things, you will even call your husbands Lord." And said, "If you do that, you're my daughters indeed." That's written in the Word of God in 1 Peter 3. If a woman is willing to call her husband Lord, he is her priest. And when she does not try to bypass the authority of him being the head and go directly to the King of Kings, you go directly through your head, you got your answer virtually immediately too, didn't you, Katie? See, a man of God that's walking in obedience to the Word, when he prays over his wife and his children, there's nobody on this earth, and I've said that many times, there's nobody on this earth that has more power over you and them children than this man right here. So it's very important that you and I start walking in obedience to the Word, isn't it? Very. Don't you enjoy that? Your wife certainly did. She got rid of her pain. Is that right? Absolutely. I know Cheryl. She definitely liked it. I mean, when you're in pain for 2 weeks, 2 days, and then your husband reaches over and touches you and you instantly get healed. Anybody likes that, don't they? Ladies, remember, your husband is your head. But also, you gentlemen, remember, you are to love that wife, that woman of yours, like Christ loved the church, even willing to give your life for that woman. So you don't lord it over your woman. In fact, I got real tickled at Rosemary the other day. Rosemary, I'm going to tell this on you. Rosemary works for us in the ministry. And she said, "Thurman, I've had a real problem with what you teach about women or wives being subject to husbands." But she said, "I now have seen, since I've been working for your ministry, I see that Cheryl is totally in submission to you, but she doesn't give up her power." She said she still has power. She does what she wants to pretty well. You and her discuss everything, and you give her the power to do virtually what she wants to do. So she said, "I love the way you two do things." But now that's the way it's supposed to be. You're not to lord it over her. You're not to come in and say, "Woman, you're mine. Go fix me something to eat."
Right?
Oops, oops. You're not to lord it over your woman. You are to love her to the point that you, as a man, would be willing to give your life for that woman. And any man that loves his woman like that, he will have no problem with a woman fully submitting to him. And when the two of you fall in that kind of a relationship to each other and to God, then you can come to God and your head can ask him to heal his bride, and the King does it.
Yes.
Just that quick. Isn't it wonderful, Katie? It's fabulous. You love it, don't you? You do. Cheryl does too. We both love it. Now, by faith, we have that kind of power. Now then, if the woman is not being submissive to the husband, and the husband's not being submissive to Christ, or he's not loving his wife, when the Lord says, "Husbands, if you don't love your wives," he says, "your prayers will be hindered." You know what that means? He will not answer your prayer. That makes it real easy to love your bride. I like to get my prayers answered, don't you?
Right.
Yes. Makes it real easy. It's real easy to love this girl anyway, isn't it, Johnny?
Very easy.
Very easy to love this girl. Because she's a sweetheart of yours. She's your wife.
Amen.
She's a sweetheart.
Amen.
But it makes it a whole lot easier for you to love her When you know, if you don't do what the king says, he's going to cut off your prayers, right?
You're right.
Then you can really love her good, right?
Right.
Right. Because you don't want your prayers cut off of the king, do you?
That's right.
Absolutely, that's right. If every man knew that, every man would have no problem loving his wife. True. Treating her with love and respect. Don't get angry with her. Love her. And then the woman will have no problem loving her husband. But that's a great testimony, Katie. I mean, it's great. Just a minute. I think about how wonderful it is to learn these principles and that God really meant what he said. I also had another lady at the healing school yesterday that we talked quite extensive about a lot of subjects. Cheryl said I went all over the place yesterday. And I did. But one of the things I talked about was grumbling. God hates grumbling, and that I proved to them from the Word of God what it will bring the destroyer to you when you grumble, which is a demon. So that'll bring sickness and disease and pain and suffering. So also, after talking about grumbling and how it brings demons and sickness and disease, and confirmed it to them from the Word of God, one of the ladies came up, she said, I know what my problem is. She said, all I do is grumble and complain. But she said, I am repenting now, and I know I'm going to be healed. And sure enough, after repenting and making God a promise she had not grumbled, she got healed. So it's amazing what God has provided in this book and what he's told us about, but it's like we never read it. So all these things I'm going to tell you about today by faith. What is the one major element that makes all these magnificent things that we're going to talk about in faith? If you have faith, Jesus says, and don't doubt, you can do anything. He said, nothing is impossible with you if you have faith. Well, then why in the world don't the church walk in it? Why? Most of the church, it's just like this young lady said up here when she started watching me on GLC out there. I said, there's no power in the church. I've been in the church all of my life. I've never seen a healing. Had I ever seen anybody sick in the church? Oh, thousands of them. Wow. It wasn't that we didn't have somebody to pray for, that's for sure. There was plenty out there to pray for, but there was virtually no one walking in faith. In fact, the churches I was raised up in, I never saw a man walk in faith. I never saw not one man that walked in faith that could get prayers answered. Just like this one testimony that Katie had here a while ago. That's an awesome testimony. Her husband prays over in a minute, she's completely instantly healed. I never heard a testimony like that in church in my life. Not one. And I've been in church 9 months before I was born.
Wow.
Some of you may have been right there with me. You may have been the same way and never saw anything, never saw an answer to prayer. But when you learn how to do it, here is the thing that makes your love work. And I want you to see it with your own eyes. I want you to turn back before we start in Hebrews 11. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6. And I want you to see what that says. It's real easy to miss these kind of things. Galatians chapter 6. Or Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. And I want you to read in your Bible what Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, and I want you to tell me what makes faith work. What is it in that? The right there is a little tiny line that has the magnificent mystery of why faith does not work to most people. What is it, did the Lord say through the Apostle Paul, that makes faith work? What is it?
Love.
Everybody see that?
Yes.
Your faith works by love. Now then, why, I wonder, does faith work by love? Is there any of the attributes of God that contain any love? That's all he is, isn't he? So if God is love, and you don't have some of those attributes of his love, guess what you can't do? Nothing. You got to walk in love. So now then, if you're walking in love, somebody says, well, my goodness gracious, then what in the world is love? Well, I'm glad you asked. We need to know. Let's turn back a couple of more pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm going to show you how hard it is and why so few people see any miracles happen today in the church, because I'm going to prove to you how the majority of the church is not walking in love. 1 Corinthians 13. Look what the Lord says there. Therefore, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love. You know, by the way, those of you at King James where it says charity, you know charity means love. Now this is talking about the God kind of love, the agape love he's talking about here. The God kind of love. And have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not love, I am nothing. Let's go down to verse 4. It says, love suffers long. Most of us can suffer about 10 seconds, maybe. Or for some of you, the way you laughed at me, I think 5. Love suffers long. What does that mean? Love suffers long? Long? What is long? And is kind. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. So if somebody else has something that's better than you, you don't envy it. When somebody gets a better job than you got and you were seeking for that job and they got it, you go up and tell them how glad you are that they got the job. You're kind. Love does not vaunt itself up. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Doesn't throw fits. If you don't get what you want, as a little child, you don't kick and scream. You know, you have to be taught these things, because the other normal attributes are just there. You have to teach a child how to walk in love. You don't have to teach them to walk in the devil's way. They already know that. They already know that. Love does not seek her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity or sin, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. I'm telling you, there's a word in this book that I guarantee we need to do a word study on to see what it means. And it's the three-letter word, A-L-L. All. That's used so many times in the Word of God. All. And it's like we don't listen to Him. All powers given to us over the devil. All authority and dominion is given to us on the earth. What do we think when we read that? It couldn't be true. But it is. When it really soaks into your spirit what you can do. Jesus said, I bore all your sin on the cross. All your sickness and all disease I removed on the cross. So if he bore all of your sickness and all of your sin, then why do we go around and sin as Christians? Because we've been trained that you can't walk through the day without sinning. But yet the Word of God demands that you walk through life without sinning. He demands it. And then he says, by my stripes you were healed. Were healed. I am not an English major by a long shot, and you can tell it when you listen to me talk. But I do understand all and were. I do know that were and was past tense. I do know that. Praise the King.
Praise his name.
That's the one thing that I got really tickled about this tremendous man of God. And he's so educated, and he uses such good English. And he is a great man of God. And when I was with him a year and a half or so ago, he said, Thurman, there is a few places we need to polish up your English. I told him, I said, you know, I know I'm not an English major, but I'm sure glad God hears my prayers the way I speak them. And I'm sure glad he does all these wonderful healings. And no offense to the man. He's a great man of God. I love him. I spoke in, a couple of his conferences. But you don't have to be an English major for God to hear your prayer. Aren't we glad? I'm glad God understands. But love, he understands that too. In verse 8, he says, love never fails. Isn't that pretty awesome, Benjamin? Love never fails. So then, when you go back to Galatians 5:6, he said, love worketh, or faith worketh by love, or through love. So now then, are you willing to pay that price so you can walk in the Hebrews 11 chapter? Amen. Praise God. Let's do it. Let's do it. Most men, unfortunately, are not willing to walk in that love to their wife. And that's why so many families don't get their prayers answered. So many men will not go to church with their women. Or they will have a knockdown dragout on the way to church. But then when they get to church, they're on their best foot. How are you doing? Oh, we're doing great. Everything's fine. You're lying. Everybody's had a knockdown dragout in your life. I don't care who they are. If you haven't, you will. You know, when I was an airline pilot years ago, there's a guy made a statement to me one day. And the reason he made the statement to me is because I was taking a check ride in a multi-engine airplane. A Cessna 310D. For some of you that may not even know what that is, but that's a twin-engine light airplane. Carry four people. I was doing some maneuvers, and we were simulating a single-engine landing. We had an engine failure simulated, and I'm going to make a single-engine landing. And so I'm on a downwind leg. When the tower called me, I'm going through the checklist. And the car called and said, you need to make a right turn, come back in, re-enter the pattern. You got one out there on finals too close. And so make a right 360 and re-enter the pattern right where you are, and then we'll have plenty of time. Well, I picked up the mic and answered him, told him okay, and so forth. And then I immediately started the turn. And then when I started back on the checklist, I happened to put my finger back on the checklist one notch below where I took it off. Now, the one notch below wasn't critical. It was only the landing gear. That's really not critical while you're in the air. But when you get on the ground, the gear is very critical. Well, I missed it. And I'm simulating a single engine approach, and I'm wondering why this airplane won't slow down. I got the flaps down, not full down yet, but because I didn't want to put the flaps full down with one engine. So I don't understand. This thing's not, I'm thinking, what did I do wrong? For some reason, this thing's not flying like it normally flies. And I've got four people in this thing. The FAA guy, he wanted to bring two people with him. So I got an extra heavy load for this airplane. And they were all big guys, and it's still not slowing down. And I thought, what did I do wrong? And about that time, the tower comes up. He said, Cessna 310B, so get my number. He said, either lower your gear or go around. And I got an FAA inspector, and I'm on a check ride. How many of you know that's not really what you want on a check ride? So I reach over, push the throttle up. I tell him I'll go around, and I make a single engine, go around, re-enter, do everything, lower the gear, make everything perfect this time. I'm cool as a cucumber. I thought, what, busted a check ride? Ain't no use to be tense now. You know, just do everything like you would if nobody was in here with you. So I just made the go around, re-entered the pattern, landed, pulled over to the terminal, and I said, well, when you gonna give me another check ride? He said, I'm gonna give you your license. I said, what? I messed up like that? You're going to give me my license? He said, when that guy told you to go around, he said, I watched everything you did. He said, you were as cool as a cucumber. He said, I'm telling you, you did that perfect. He said, I mean, it was precise on the numbers, everything. He said, it was just a freak. He said, whenever that guy told you to make that run, he said, you did it. He said, I guarantee. He said, there's two kinds of pilots. Those that will land with gear up. I mean, those that have and those that will land with gear up. But he said, you know what you will? He said, you won't never make that mistake again. You've already had yours. He said, you won't never make that mistake. He said, after missing the landing gear, you will probably go over your checklist at least three times from this day forth. He said, you won't never miss a gear again. And guess what? I flew airplanes all over the world, and that guy was right. I never went through my checklist one time. Never. Because after that, flying a big commercial airliner, you can't afford to be wrong. You have to make sure everything is done perfect and precise. You don't want to get nobody hurt. So you're flying by faith. You're doing everything by faith. When you really get a hold of this and you walk in love, then these are the things you can do by faith. Listen to what he says. Now, I've read this a jillion times, and it didn't make any sense to me at all. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Since I've learned these principles, when I pray for someone, just like you heard Bob say a while ago, he's heard me say that, no telling how many times. When you pray and ask God for something, you pray and ask in faith, nothing wavering, believing he heard, and it's done. And when you say it's done, it is done. He is not a wavering God, is he, Johnny? Absolutely not. And he expects us, his children, not to be wavering. Now, until I had learned the truth about healing, that it is absolutely God's will to heal every human being on the earth, every time, unless you have committed the sin unto death. If you've committed the sin unto death, you're in trouble. Because the Lord tells you, I tell you, you shall not pray about that. Well, how do you know what the sin unto death is? You don't know. He didn't tell you. He did tell us a couple of places. Can anybody think of a real good example in the first part of the book of Acts? That was a sin unto death to one
lying
man and one
Holy
woman?
Spirit.
Huh?
Lying to Holy Spirit.
Lying to the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever lied to the Holy Spirit and are still alive? Every one of you. Every one of you have lied to God and you're still alive. So lying to the Holy Spirit is not the sin unto death in every case. I'm going to tell you a fact that if we were to do in the church, since God does say be a tither in the Old Testament, And the New Testament, he says, you're supposed to give as is given to you. So a tithe is a minimum. You should never give less than 10%. But if you've been blessed with, say you're a worker, you're making $300 a week. Well, then $30 a week would be a good tithe to start out with, unless you want to be blessed more. But let's say you're blessed with $2,000 a week. And your things that you're using and everything, you don't even come close to needing $2,000 a week. Do you think God is pleased with $200 a week of your money? No, he's not. He says, give as you're blessed. So you might say, hey, you could give $500 a week instead of $200. Now then, if God moves on your heart and you feel led to give $200 instead of $200, you give $500 a week, you're going to be blessed abundantly because he's going to tell you what to do. But if $200 or $1,000, or depending on what you make, 10% of that was required, and God was no respecter of persons, and today we said, okay, we're going to take up an offering, which we don't do in this church. But said, we're going to take up an offering, and I'm going to put right here just a place for you to come lay your offering, and every one of you that don't go somewhere else or didn't give somewhere else to some other church this week you are to bring 10% of everything you made this week and put it in an envelope or lay it down right here, and you're to tell God, that's my tithe. And so Johnny gets out and he walks up and he puts his money down and he goes back and sits down. And then somebody else gets up and walks up here and they put theirs down and say, Lord, that's 10%. And they walk off. And about the fourth or fifth person, he comes up here and says, Lord, this is my 10%, and lays down, takes one step, and they fall dead. And the Lord says, he lied to me. He only gave 5%. He said he gave 10. He lied. Ooh, I said, well, the Lord just spoke to me and told me this man lied, and that's why he's dead. Next. I will tell you what, everybody after that one come up here, if they put it down there, they're going to tell him the truth. Either you're going to tell him the truth or you're going to stay in that seat, right, Fred? Once you see one man die, I'm going to tell you, when Ananias and Sapphira both lied to the Holy Ghost about that piece of property and the money they gave, it says, and great fear fell upon the church. That's what's wrong with us today in the church. There's no fear of God. He tells us, he said, don't sin. He tells the young people and the old people today, you are not supposed to sin. No sin. Well, then, if we are not supposed to sin at all, why do we grumble? Is grumbling a sin? Of course it is. Because that's part of the new covenant. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmuring or grumbling and complaining. Do how many things? A-L-L still means everything, right? So you see how important it is and why we don't get from God, because we don't believe him. So if you grumble and complain, it'll bring sickness and disease upon you. You don't want it. Don't lie to him either, because it can bring all kinds of problems upon you. Walk holy before him in obedience to his word in everything. Not a few things, everything. I mean, I don't know about you, but God promised to give us abundant life. Here a while back, the Lord sent me over to a man's house. He said, you need to go over and talk to that man. Well, I don't really know what I'm supposed to talk to him about. You know, since God's a faith God, he just leaves a whole lot up to you. He just tells you to go talk to somebody. I don't know what I'm going over there for. It would be a whole lot nicer if he had said, Thurman, I want you to go over and see Susie or Jack, and they're not tithing. They're only giving me 4%. I want you to go over and tell them they're not doing what I told them to do in the Word. But he just told me to go see him. Okay, so I go over there and I kind of talk. How y'all doing? You know, how's things going? Y'all going to church? I mean, it's got to be something about church. You know, are y'all going to church? Oh, yeah, we're going to church. I said, you know, y'all sure got a nice business here. You sure got a bunch of equipment and everything. You got a lot of people working for you. Yeah, and I said, things are really going good. Oh, yeah. And by the way, I just bought me an airplane, too. I know you used to be a pilot. Oh, you bought you an airplane? Boy, if you bought you an airplane, things must really be good. Them things are expensive. Oh, yeah. I said, wow. Boy, if you bought an airplane, you're doing this good. I mean, I say, y'all must really be blessing the Lord in your tithe. Now, Thurman, I know you go to church, but it's obvious you haven't read the New Testament. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, in the New Testament, we're not required to tithe. I said, where does the New Testament start? Well, she said, Matthew. I said, have you read Matthew 23:23 lately? And she said, well, not lately. And I said, well, you know, you need to read it. Now, we're going to read it. I didn't read it to her that day, but we're going to read it. Matthew 23:23. And maybe, just maybe, I don't interpret this book correctly. I don't know. But this was, when I read this scripture, this was the king talking. You read that, Keith? You shook your head like, I've been there before. Woe unto you. When the king talks to me, I don't want him to say that to me the first thing. Woe unto you. That's not exactly what I want to hear, is his son. Because if dad walked in, he said, woe unto you. I know I'm fixing to get the belt across my backside. I don't like to hear things like, woe unto you. Scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. I mean, Jesus wouldn't talk to somebody like this. Would he, young lady? He is, isn't he? Woo! Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you pay tithe of your mint and your anise and your cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which are judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So you think God's, you think he says we're still supposed to tithe?
Amen.
No, that's not true. Under the new covenant, he wants it all. He wants you and all of it. He says you are to give as you've been blessed. A tithe is a minimum. He sent the old law and demanded that we give him at least 10% under the old law, which was settled in the blood of a goat or an animal, a bull. And then he sent his son. And he died on the cross for you to pay the price that set you free. Keith, if you had sent your son to die for me, you might require some pretty good requirements from me, wouldn't you? You love that boy, don't you? And if I'm a wicked sinner, you're just like me. You ain't sending that boy to die for me if I'm an old wicked sinner and I hate you and everything I do and you do, is it? No, you and me just exactly alike. I mean, only God could have sent his son to pay the price for all of this bunch of wicked sinners in this room. When we were unlovable and wicked and mean and living in hell, but he sent his son to pay that price so we could be here today. And then we would have the audacity to think that he does not even require a 10% offering off of what we make. I'm telling you, that's minimum. That's minimum. That's a starting point. And then you give beyond that. Everything I have belongs to the Lord. I give it all to him. My time and everything now. I mean, that's, I just virtually don't do nothing for me no more. Nothing counts for nothing. I do everything we do for the kingdom of God. We're up day and night working for the kingdom of God. But that's Cheryl and I. We have that to carry. That's just us. We work for the Lord 24/7. But the Lord said what to do. So if you do all these things he said, and you walk in love, then you can come back to this chapter 11 of Hebrews and your faith will work. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look what he says. For by it, or faith, the elders obtained or won a good report. That's the way you're going to obtain a good report from God, is by believing him in advance for his whatever his promises are. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Think about this. He is training you and me to be faith people. Now, I realize this is a little far-fetched for the average person. It was for me for a long, long time. But God is training you and I to be overcomers, to be men and women of faith that can do the same things, even greater things on this earth that he did when he was here himself. And he wrote that in John 14:12, didn't he, Johnny?
That's great.
So if Jesus is training us to do greater things. The king spoke one day, young lady, in a storm in Mark chapter 4. And the boys woke up and there was a storm. And they said, "Lord, do you not care that we perish in this storm?" And he got up and spoke to the wind and the waves. And it became quiet. And then he looked them right in the eye and he says, "Where's your faith?" In other words, why didn't you speak to the storm? Today, after he has died and arose and completely defeated the forces of darkness, he says to you in John 14:12, not only can you do what I have been doing, but greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. When's the last time you had the faith to speak to a storm and command it to stop?
Never.
Not yet. Well, that day will come. That day will come. If you sit under faith teaching, it will come. But you know, this church right here, young lady, only a couple weeks ago, many of you were here that day when I called this church a prayer at about 2:45. And there was a stage 4 Class 4 hurricane, 140-mile-an-hour winds coming into Pensacola, Florida. That's going to wipe this place out. And we prayed and humbled ourselves before God and asked Him to be merciful and to do whatever that was within His will to lower that thing down. Where that we know the world's wicked, and we know America's wicked, and we know everywhere you go it's wicked, and we know anything we get, we deserve. But we ask Him because of us, His children, here in this church, that would humble ourselves before Him and pray and turn from our wicked ways. We ask Him to be merciful to those people in Pensacola, Florida. And the very time we were praying, He lowered that storm from 140 to 120. And the newsman that night said, "We do not understand what happened. But this stage 4 storm that was 140 miles an hour just before it hit at 3 p.m., went down to 120 miles an hour, which means it didn't do near the devastating damage it would have done if it had stayed at 140. Yes. Now, what if there had been 100 churches praying like we were? What if it had been 1,000 of them praying like we were? That storm would have stopped. That storm would have stopped. You and I, as born-again Christians by faith, have been given the dominion and power of a storm if it's coming to our house to destroy our house, and we're obedient children, we can command it not to do any damage to our house. In fact, I'm going to tell you that one of the ladies that gets our teachings for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years lives down in a little town. What's the name of that little town Miss Mueller lives in? I can't think right now, but it's in somewhere in Florida. And she incurred all 4 of those last hurricanes last year. And she had the faith every time to stand by faith. And as she saw her house sustain no damage, when houses all around her was destroyed and tore up and some of them completely destroyed, the last one that come through, she wrote us an email. She said, "By this time I had such faith in my God that I stood up there and I said, 'You devil of hell, I'm walking in obedience. I'm claiming I'm standing in faith for my entire block.'" She said, "You will do no damage and you will not knock out the power to my block in the name of Jesus." And 1 million people down there were without power except her block. Isn't that amazing? See, now that's what you can do when you really step into the realm of faith. Jesus said you could do that. But to get that done, he says you have to have the God kind of faith. You got to start thinking like God instead of like man. Man don't get these kind of things done. But think about the Lord. He is training you and I to be faith people. That's what he's allowing this adversary to stay here that he defeated 2,000 years ago. He's allowing the adversary to stay here to put you and me to the test, to drive us to this word, to learn what faith is, to learn how to walk in divine health, to learn how to get the sick healed, to learn how to produce great and mighty miracles. So one day, this could be a possibility in the future. The king says we're going to reign and rule with him throughout eternity in the cosmos. You ever stop to think about what it means to reign and rule with a king through eternity? That's a pretty big step, isn't it? That's a long ways from where we are right now. Since I'm picking on this little girl over here with the red on, I'm going to pick on her again. She's new today, see? I'll pick on her. She looks like a wonderful little lady. She can handle it, though. What are you going to do, honey? One day when you're walking out there in eternity with the king, and he comes and puts his arm around you and he said, "My darling, you know, you've been up here with me for 4 million years. And life and things have changed and the earth is completely saturated with people. And all the other planets that we have out there are getting so saturated with people. Come on over here and I want you to look right off over yonder in the north where we got a little free space left over there. And I want you to speak me 20 new planets into existence over there with suns and stars. Go ahead, it's your turn." Is that a little beyond your ability to grasp right now?
It's a very big concept, but I think it'll be a very wonderful.
But see, that's what he's training you and me to do, to reign and rule with him in eternity. Is that an awesome thing to think about? But just think. He tells us here today that I've given you the power to go lay hands on the sick and they shall get well. I've given you the power to pray prayers of faith. I've given husbands power over their wives. When their wives need something, you come and ask your priest and he'll pray to me and I'll hear and I'll answer. And he did. Isn't that wonderful? Here's a little lady that learned the proper channel of authority. Submit to her husband, which is submitted to Christ, which is submitted to God. And he goes through the proper chain of command. But let me tell you, you don't want no switch in this chain open if the husband's not willing to go to church with her. He's not willing to be the priest of the home. He's not willing to be that loving man that God told him to be. The switch is open and the power don't work. Did God say your faith worked by love? Is it important we walk in love? Well, only important if you want your prayers answered. If you want to walk in divine health, and I like all that, don't you, brother? Amen. I definitely like it when God shows up to do a mighty miracle of healing or something. I love to see the king. Don't you, Brittany?
I do.
Oh, I'm telling you, Brittany can pray the prayer of faith. Woo. For a young lady, she can pray the prayer of faith. I mean, her mother, after her mother was miraculously healed when her daddy came here several years ago, and her mother had been down for about 6 weeks, and James, I don't think, had ever seen a miracle. But he came here one Sunday afternoon, and he and I talked about it after church. He said, "Somebody told me that miracles happen down here." And so he said, "I thought I'd come and listen to you." And he said, "After I listened to you, you don't sound like some crazy guy." He said, "You don't look like some crazy guy. You just teach what's written in my book." So anyway, he said, "I want you to pray for my wife. She's been down for 6 weeks, hit her head, and she can't get around. And so I want you to pray the prayer of faith for me." I told him, I said, "Well, James, you must believe with no doubt in your heart." He said, "I believe God." So we took this magnificent promise in Matthew 18:19, and by faith, now see, this is something I can't see. I don't know Lori at this time. I've never met her. She's laying at home with her head damaged. Doctors can't find her problem. But I, with her priest, her husband, which is walking in obedience to God's word, he and I take Matthew 18:19, where Jesus said, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven." Now, what kind of a promise is that? That's awesome. Isn't that awesome, Sharon? Yeah, you love it too, don't you, girl? Awesome. She's used that promise a lot herself. But James and I prayed the prayer of faith, and then I told him, I said, "Now, I guarantee your wife is healed. You go home and tell her to get out of that bed and start walking." But he goes to go home, and on the way home, their little son that was already at home there, he said, "Mama, let's get up and go for a walk." And Mama gets up, and when James gets home, Mama and the son is already out walking down the road. And Lori's been completely healed ever since. And for a woman that virtually had never seen a miracle or a healing, here a while back, Lori come to me. They work with us in the ministry a lot. They pray the prayer of faith for a lot of people. And she come to me and she said, "Thurman, I have a terrible problem." I thought, Lori, you have a terrible problem? What's your problem? She said, "I have so many praise reports, I can't remember them all." What a problem to have. You pray the prayer of faith for so many people, now you can't even remember all the miracles and the healings and everything you've seen God do when you pray for people. That's the way everybody should be in the church. We should have so many praise reports. In fact, I talked to a man this last week. I called him about some cattle. When I called him, asking him to put some cows on my place, he said, "You know, I was talking to some oil field guys the other day, and one of them was mentioned your name." And he said, "Thurman Scribner?" He said, "I know Thurman Scribner." He said, "Oh, you do?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I never forget him." He said, "I went to church with him for years." Oh, he said, "Why? What happened that you remember him?" He said, "I'm a cowboy here. I lived here in Justin all my life." And he said, "One Saturday I was roping cows, and I broke my wrist." And he said, "I was in terrible pain. And I went to the doctor, and they x-rayed it, and they said, my wrist is broken. They want to put a cast on me." I said, "Nope. I'm going to church." Now, see, James is in church every Sunday anyway. But this is very unique. We had a Baptist preacher at that time, but he didn't go down and ask him to pray for him. He sat on the back row till he saw me coming from Sunday school class. And when he saw me coming, he ran out there and said, Thurman, you got to pray for me." I said, "Okay, let's go down to the front and pray." No. He said, "They're already singing anyway, but I don't want them to see what we're doing." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I broke my wrist yesterday. Take me back in the library and pray for me." I said, "James, if I was God, I wouldn't do nothing for none of us." Y'all understand where I'm coming from? He said, "You take me back in the library and pray for me." I said, "James, you know we serve a faith God, and you got to believe." He said, "You pray for me, and it's done." I said, "Okay, with that kind of faith, I'll pray for you." I said, "Why do you believe God's going to heal you when I pray for you?" He said, "Good grief, you prayed for Philip Wren, and all his warts went away." He said, "I seen that." He said, "You prayed for it." There's another woman there that he's very close to. He said, "You prayed for her for a carpal tunnel, and she was healed." He said, "I've seen all kinds of miracles happen when you pray." I said, "Well, okay, let's go back there and pray." So I went back to the library. I laid my hand on him. I hit that sore wrist. I just reached up and grabbed it and slapped it. I said, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." I turned him loose. I said, "It's done, but you got to believe it." He said, "It's done." Immediately, he said, his pain went away. And the next day, Monday, he was roping cows again with that wrist. That's what your faith will do. Isn't that amazing that God is a faith God and he demands that you believe him with no doubt? Even when you won't go down in front of the church to get it done, you got to go back into a library. He still honors faith back there. Isn't that amazing? What is the one thing we've really learned that God honors after love and all this other stuff? It's faith. What is faith? It's his word. You quote his word to him. When you quote his word to him through faith, I want you to know, I want you to read some of the things that we see here, that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, that God made the world. And then he goes down and says, faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and by faith Enoch was translated. What? Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated? That's the way every Christian should go home to be with the Lord. Why is it that there's so few ever make that? Because we don't walk in that kind of love and faith. I mean, God walked with Enoch. He loved him. I mean, he was obedient to him. He done everything exactly what God wanted. He walked in total faith. And one day God, at about 350 years of age, he said, you know, I just want you to be with me all the time, and I don't want to have to come down here to earth to get you, so I'm just going to take you home with me. Just snatched him right out of here. Translated him. Let me ask you this question. Do you know anybody on this earth, even written in the Scripture, you know any time anybody was else in the New Testament, you know anywhere anybody was ever translated? Anybody know of any experiences where anybody was ever translated, written in the Bible? What happened when Philip? Was Philip over there witnessing to the eunuch? And he got him baptized, and what happened? Bam, he was in another city, 25 miles away in a heartbeat. How did he get there? He was translated. That's like this, I can't think of this guy's name. I wish I could think of it. Right now I can't think. But he's alive right now. Not an old man either. He said the Lord spoke to him one day and told him to go to a foreign country. You know the story? Oh, he's been translated several times?
Okay.
If we would only believe and have faith, this gentleman that I know, he was told by the Lord to go to some foreign country. And so he said, Lord, I don't have any money. The Lord told him, says, pack your bag and go to the airport. So he packed his bag and he went to the airport. So this man had all kinds of faith. So he walked up to the first airline he come to. And he walked up there and he said, I'm so-and-so. I'm supposed to have an airline ticket to wherever. And the guy looked down through and said, I'm sorry, sir, your name's not in there. He said, well, I must be at the wrong airline. So he goes down to another one, and he goes, stands in line. He says, I need a ticket. I'm supposed to already have a prepaid ticket to a certain foreign country. And the guy looked down through there, and he says, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have anything like that. So he backs on and says, what is this, God? You told me to go to a foreign country. You told me to pack my bag and go to the airport. You got to have a ticket. The Lord spoke to him and said, go to the men's room. He said, Lord, I don't need to go to the men's room. I said, go to the men's room. He said, okay. So he went in there and he said, now here I am, Lord, what I do now? He said, go in that stall right there. He said, Lord, I told you I don't need to go to the bathroom. He said, take your bag in there with you. Okay, picks his bag up, walks in, closes the door. He looks around in there a minute and he says, okay, Lord, now I'm here. I've done what you said. What now? He said, okay, now you can go outside. So he opens the door and steps out. He said, good grief, this is not the same place. And he walked out and he was in that country. Translated that quick. Somebody said, I don't believe that story. Well, let me tell you, if you don't believe that, you won't never see God do a translation for you. You got to believe, after all, when you think about by faith all these things that happened, these people that we're talking about here in this Old Testament, all the way through the chapter 11, every one of them were Old Testament saints. Not one single one of them was New Testament people. Do you know how many times the word faith is used in the King James and the Old Testament? You have any idea? Two. The word faith is used two times in the Old Testament with the Old Testament saints. You know how many times the word faith is used in the New Testament from Matthew to Revelation? 245 times. We're supposed to be walking by faith. But yet these people did walk by faith. A very few of them. And every one of them got their name in the book of life. When you walk by faith, Jesus has given you and me great and awesome power. When he says, lay hands on the sick and they shall get well, you don't go up and lay hands on the sick and say, I hope you're healed. You lay hands on them, you say, it's done. If you got your sins repented of, you pray for anything. When you take scriptures by faith, when you take scriptures like Matthew 8:13, I want you to go back to Matthew 8:13, and I want you to see this. Matthew 8:13. The centurion had come to Jesus and asked him to go, or asked him to heal his servant, which had the palsy. And Jesus immediately said, I will go and heal him. Is Jesus always ready to go and heal you? He's always ready. That's his compassion and love. He's always willing to heal his people that are willing to receive. But the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. I know you're a man of authority. You just speak the word, and I know my servant will be healed. And you know what Jesus' answer was? Look in Matthew 8:13. See what Jesus' answer was. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. So when somebody prays a prayer of faith over you, if you believe you're healed, guess what? You are. If you say, well, I'm not sure, I hope so, maybe. Oh, God, if it's your will, please. He said, that don't move my hand. I am not a begging and pleading God. I am a faith God, and you either believe what I said or you don't get nothing from me. Somebody said, God would not do me like that. Well, let me show you in James 1:6, he will. James 1:6. Turn over to James 1:6, and I want to show you that the king is a king that demands that we believe him when we ask for something. James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, only a little bit wavering. Oh, that I must have read that wrong. How much wavering? That brother, he's getting a hold of this. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man or woman think that they shall receive anything of the Lord. If you waver, what's he going to do for you? Nothing. But if you believe him, what's he going to do for you? Whatever you ask for. When you ask in faith, nothing wavering. It's just like the woman Saturday, it came up to me and she said, I've driven a long way, but I know I came here to get healed today, and I know when you touch me, my pain's going to go away and I'm going to be healed. She knew that, but when I touched her and it did go away and Jesus did heal her, let me tell you, she was still astounded and she started screaming and hollering. Isn't that wonderful? When it happens, it's amazing how that these things happen. I mean, here a while back when Taylor was out there before her and Andy got married and went off on their way, and I lost another helper. it happens. Well, I had to get one helper permanent, so I married her. Now she can't get away. She's out there all the time. I throw the lasso around her and got her. And so she's there 24/7. She made a covenant with me. She can't get away. She's got to be there. So if you, it's unfortunate. I can't marry but one of them, though. That's what the Lord said. I can't marry but one. But anyway, Taylor one day was out there. There was nobody, no prayer warriors available. and a man called in, and his mother was having serious problem. I forget now, something,
stroke.
She'd had a stroke or something really serious. And he said, I got to have prayer. Taylor said, well, Thurman's not here, and Gloria's not available. He said, I just got to have prayer. I got to have it right now. So you pray with me. She said, oh, I couldn't pray the prayer of faith for you. He said, look, Jesus said, if two of us on earth agree about anything, he'll do it. I got to have somebody believe it. And he said, I know the living Savior is a good place to call. So he said, you pray with me and agree with me, and I know my mother will be healed. And guess what? They prayed, and his mother was almost instantly, immediately healed. And whenever that phone message got back to Taylor, she was walking about this high off the ground for about a week. You know, when God answers our prayer, something like that, and we really see him do something, that kind of boosts our faith a little, doesn't it? Or the next time we're ready to pray. And then after you've seen it so many times, you pray and you think, well, now what happened? They didn't get instantly healed. What's going on here? And the Lord said, don't get out of faith with me. I'm healing this one. I'm not going to do a miracle on this one. I'm going to do a healing on this one. It's done, but just believe. Let me give you a good quick example of something happened. A couple come Saturday, and the woman was on fire. Her mother, I believe it was her mother or her dad's mother, one, I forget which, was hard of hearing. I don't know what all the problems they had. But she said, when I prayed last month at the healing school, the woman was instantly healed. She said, when we started home, I'd say something, Mom, and she said, after about the third time, she said, would you please quit screaming in my ear? She said, you mean you can hear me? She said, of course I can hear you perfect. Quit screaming in my ear. She said, wow, she can hear. And then said, by the next morning, all symptoms are gone away. She's completely healed of everything. And so she said she was perfect all day long, or maybe it was a couple of days or whatever it was. And then she said, well, Mom, we're going to go do something. Would you like to go with us? And she said, no, that's okay. Y'all go ahead. I'll just stay at home. But she said, by the time we got back, Mom had time to think about it. And she thought, you know, you kids went off and left me. And she was in a state of grumbling and complaining. And guess what happened to her healing? She lost it. She lost it. But it sure did light the fire of that couple. Does it pay good dividends to step out of love?
No.
Your faith works by what? Love. You want your faith to work and you want to walk in divine health? You're going to walk in love. God is no respecter of persons, is he?
No.
None whatsoever. If you walk in love, you can walk in divine health. If you'll do what the Lord says here, he will do what he said he will do. Every time. If you need to be prayed for healing, he will heal you. I might say right here that we've had, I don't even know the mighty miracles of healing that we've had the privilege to see out of this church. Some of them been done here, and some of them been done over our prayer lines. I can think of boys, girls, men, and women that we have prayed for, all of us out there at the ministry center. And people on the other end of a prayer line, 1,000 miles away, be instantly healed when you pray the prayer of faith. It just blows me away to think about these things. I think about, and many of you have heard this story, and we have several people here today from these, actually, I guess you might say the Bill Gothard Ministries. But when I prayed for those two young men, Andy and Robert, nearly a year and a half ago, over about a 2-week period apart, and Bill himself called me a year later and said, both of those boys are still completely healed. Isn't God a merciful God? To take a young man, Andy, and heal him instantly. And then Robert, 2 or 3 weeks later, when Bill called me the second time, and I found Robert's sin, found Andy's sin, both of them had a sin, They both got it confessed. They both repented. Then they both believed God's word. And when I prayed the prayer of faith, both those boys were instantly healed. I think how merciful God is. If you will believe him, he makes you a guarantee here in the book of James that if you ask wavering, he will do nothing for you. But you turn over just a few pages to the last chapter of the book of James and you find a guarantee to heal everybody in the church every time if they can only believe. James 5:14. Now how a man could read this and then pray, if it be your will, God, is beyond me. But they do it all the time. And when they pray, if it be your will, it never works. But when you do it in faith, in James 5:14, is any sick among you? Who does that include? Is that everybody? Is that you? If you have a need today, does that include you? Are you an anyone? Are you a daughter or a son of the King of the universe? If you are, he says, is any sick among you? Let him or her call for the elders of the church. Well, I'm an elder of the church. And we have a few others around here that are elders of the church. Call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. That doesn't sound too difficult, does it? Anointing him with oil. Now, that's a little more difficult. The very first man I ever anointed with oil happened in 1986 in a Baptist church right up the road at Lakeland Baptist Church. And he only had stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer in every organ of his body. He'd been sent home to die. Doctor said, impossible to live. But I finally convinced that Baptist man that the Word of God's true. But I didn't get it done on the first visit. I had to go 3 times before he would believe this covenant. And when he finally did, I took a bottle of oil. That was my first time. I didn't know how to do that. When he says, anoint him with oil, what do you do? I didn't know. So I just told Ed, I said, sit down there in the pew, take your shirt off, and I'm going to pour this oil down your back. So he sat down, and I took one of them little bottles of oil that I'd got from Tom Thumb or wherever it was, Kroger's or wherever it was. I think it's Tom Thumb. I'd stopped and bought that bottle of oil, and I just took his shirt off him, and I just started right below his hairline. He has leaned over, and I just started pouring it right there, and it went running down his back. I just went rubbing it all over him. Boy, let me tell you, that's the most powerful stuff I ever seen. How many of you know that bottle of olive oil really didn't have a whole lot of nothing to do with his healing? But the Holy Spirit hit that boy. God completely healed Ed Brock, and 20 years later, he's still well with no cancer in his body yet. I'm telling you, isn't it amazing what happens when you pray the prayer of faith? And the Lord says, and the prayer of faith, now not the prayer of unbelief, but the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. Oh, now then, when we get in there and the Lord shows up, now we can really believe this, can't we, Brittany? Because when the King shows up, you always get your answer, don't you? And the Lord shall raise him up. And even if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. So therefore, it says, confess your sins or your faults one to another, that you may be healed. All people's got to do is believe the Word of God. On those two boys that Bill Gothard called me with last year, I used that magnificent promise on both of them of Matthew 18:19, after I got their sins repented of. Where Jesus said, again I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. When there's one of you and there's two of you, and you come to your head and you ask him to pray for you, and the King shows up, doesn't he, Katie? Isn't that wonderful? It made you holler, didn't it, girl? Wow. Now, see, I didn't realize until Katie told that testimony, I didn't realize she learned that principle right here. just a week or two ago when that same thing happened to Cheryl. But my own honey bunny here, she didn't know that either. She said, I never thought about when God says submit to your husbands in all things, that he really meant that.
I didn't much know what I was doing either.
You didn't know much what you was doing, but he did it anyway, didn't he? Yeah.
Praise God.
See? He don't have to have much faith, does he? He said, if you got faith, how big?
Mustard
seed size.
I'm not where you are.
Whoa, but you don't have to be where I am.
God's.
He heard your prayer. But what did that do to your faith?
It built my
faith. Whoa, course it did. You know that the king was there and he heard your prayer when you prayed for your wife. That has a tremendous impact on men.
Use what I
had. God, you don't have to have mountain moving faith to get God to show up. All you got to do is believe him. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Isn't that wonderful? Makes you next time your wife or one of your children got something wrong, mama's going to be over there saying, honey, you need to pray for me or these kids. You know that?
Yes.
There ain't going to be no hesitation at your house, is there, Katie?
None
whatsoever. So that means daddy better stay sharp with God, right? Stay walking in obedience, because when you have a need, these babies or you need to be healed or something, you want that prayer to get through just like it did with you, don't you? Yes, and he wants it to get through too. You know what? When daddies begin to see these kind of things and see God do those kind of things, it makes you and me want to walk holier before him, doesn't it? Of course it does. That confirms that he is there and that he is a mighty God and that he loves you with all of his heart and he wants to do good things for his children. But when you come to him, he wants you to come to him in faith, nothing wavering. I mean, of course, the bold faith God's given me. You know, whenever I laid my hand on Cheryl's stomach the other night, I rebuked that devil with bold force. I said, you devil, come out of her in the name of Jesus. And he left just like that. He was gone. How much power and authority do we have over the devil?
All.
What?
All.
Anybody know where that's written? Luke 10, 19 and 20.
Tell them about the ministry.
What?
Tell them about the lady with the tarot card. About the devil. You're talking about the devil?
Yeah.
Tell them about the lady at the ministry center.
Oh.
Friday, you should have been there.
Rose. Friday, you should have been at the ministry center. That's right.
Yeah.
Boy, did we have a day. I mean, we had a lady there that had been in tarot card reading and the occult. And had invited all kinds of demons in. Now, I didn't know this until after they left. But I know we had some pretty serious battles there. You know, I mean, one time when I began to pray for the lady, she had such a serious pain in her side that, I mean, we were praying over her. Finally, I just reached up and grabbed her and began to squeeze her on the side. And I said, you devil of hell, you got to leave. And all of a sudden, she put her hand right here and said, it's going down. The pain was going down. What was going down?
A
demon was going down. But anyway, after it was all over and everybody left, Cheryl said, boy, you were just on the other side of the wall with those people with all those demons. And she said, when you started casting out demons, all our computers quit working. All our printers quit working. Everything we had quit working. Everything. It wasn't. Nothing would work. The towers wouldn't work. Nothing would work. And when we got all the demons kicked out and cleaned and purified the place again, everything started working fine again.
Whoa.
I'm no stump the other devil. He's not really real. It's kind of difficult to explain to this much out there, right, Rosemary?
Tell them about the little girl, too. Tell them about the little girl.
Oh, yeah, there's the little
Miranda.
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 Is Miranda here today? Or are they gone back?
No, they went. They left this morning.
They left?
Yeah, from Georgia.
Yeah, her daddy and mother flew up from Georgia, and they had heard about us, and they brought their little six-year-old girl up, and she wanted to meet Caitlin and play with her a little while. But the little girl had been diagnosed with a terminal brain tumor.
No, liver failure.
Oh, liver failure. That's what it was, liver failure. That's right. That's what it was, liver failure.
Cirrhosis of the liver.
Cirrhosis of the liver at six.
Okay.
At six.
And it was on liver transplant.
That's right. That's right, because they asked me to pray for the removal of the little thing where they went in and done the biopsy of the liver. That's right. It was the liver. I forgot. So I begin to check out this good, wonderful, godly family. And you know what their sin was? Unforgiveness against a brother in the church. The daddy, the spiritual head, had unforgiveness toward men in the church because they had a split in the church, had all kinds of problems, and he had a grudge. I told him, I said, you got to get rid of that. You got to forgive. We'll pray the prayer of faith. And I said, little Miranda will live to be an old woman. Who would ever dream? But we've seen this so many times, that a man or a woman, husband and wife, either one of them getting unforgiven towards somebody, it opens the door to the devil, to either one of them or both of them, as well as their children and their finances. So you, if there's anything you do not want to have in the church as a Christian, it's unforgiveness. It will kill and torment not only you, but your children and your husband or your mate. Let's put it this way. Makes no difference which one you are. Your spouse, I should say. Or your children. Now, I've seen this hundreds of times now. And just think, this little six-year-old girl, her liver was failing because of unforgiveness. But Daddy was ready to repent in a hurry when he found out. Guarantee. It didn't make no difference what nobody did to him. I'm forgiven. I am forgiving. I'm going to walk in love. It'll get your attention, especially when it's your little six-year-old daughter that's dying, when they say a liver failure. But when you repent and you pray the prayer of faith, the person can be healed, and that little girl won't have no more problem. She's such a sweet little thing. Oh, she was a little sweetheart. I mean, she was just a precious little girl. She just hugged me and hugged me. I mean, you know, she was so sweet. 6 years old, about this big. Just about like my little Caitlin. Only Caitlin was a little bigger than she was. The secret, if you walk in love, the God kind of love, you don't hold no grudges. You don't do nothing wrong to nobody. Because if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you love your neighbor as yourself, then you will never do anything wrong to anyone walking in love. So guess what? If you walk in love and do everything the Lord says, guess how often you'll have to be sick? Never. Never. When you walk in love, the Lord said in His old covenant that if you'll do everything I told you to do under the old law, I, God, will take all sickness and disease away from you, in Exodus 15:26, as well as many other places, and no sickness and disease shall come near your house. None. Psalm 91, again, he makes that statement many times. But under this new covenant, we walk in love. He said, I bore your sickness and removed your disease. So that means you don't have to sin, and you don't have to have no sickness. And by His stripes, you were healed. You know what it means to be were healed? I don't know much English, but that was yesterday stuff. That was past tense. Were, was, are. Past tense. It's done. And when you get a hold of that and you believe that by faith, then guess what? This word right here is what set me free. Is that little word S-O-Z-O up there? 20-something years ago, I didn't know what that meant. But that's when I learned that. That word sozo means all five of those other words. Saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved. Well, let's put it like this. If Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9 says, the word is nigh you, it is even in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith that we preach said, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you will believe in your heart the Father raised Him from the dead, you will be sozo in verse 9, the last word. It's not saved, it's sozo. So that means if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, you'll be saved, you will be healed, you will be made whole, you will be delivered from all demonic spirits, and you will be preserved or held in a state of youthfulness. How many of you like that? Yeah. Preserved. All the ladies sure like that. I see Shelly, her eyes over. She's smiling. Now, Keith, you're going to have to do something because she's going to stay young. You're going to have to stay young with her, right? And you will. That's what Cheryl and I, we're going to do. I'm going to stay young.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not going to get no older. And I ain't dying either.
Praise God.
I mean, I know a woman in Houston made me feel good here a while back. She's seen me. And I used to go down there all the time when I was an engineer. And she comes, she said, Mr. Scrivener. I looked at her and I said, I think I know you, but I don't remember where I've seen you. She said, I worked in the Houston operation for 10 years. You've seen me a million times. She said, I know I've changed. I said, okay, yeah, I recognize you. But she said, you ain't changed a bit. She said, I'd have known you anywhere. I said, well, the Lord renews my youth daily like the eagles. And I claim that promise regular. Psalm 103, verse 5. So if you claim God's promises, he watches over his word to perform his word. Now then, if he saved you, and you have to say that with your mouth and believe it with your heart. If he heals you, you have to say it with your mouth and believe it with your heart. So your miracle is where? In your mouth and in your heart. That if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart the Father raised him from the dead, you're healed. It's already done. All you have to do is make sure all your sins are repented of. And if they all are repented of and you're walking in that God kind of love, all you got to do if you got any kind of sickness and disease or pain in your body is we rebuke that pain, drive it away in the name of Jesus, lay hands on you, and God will heal you. We see him do it all the time. All the time. He is a wonderful God. So don't doubt him.
Nope.
Don't let that devil deceive you. Believe it is done. Amen. And all things are possible to them that believe.
Amen.
That's what the king said. Who are we going to believe, Johnny?
King.
The king. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this day.
Yes, Father.
I thank you for the word of God.
Yes, Father.
I thank you for faith that you've given to us from your word. Because if we read it and talk about it, it builds our faith and trust in you. And then we begin to really understand who you are and what you can do just a little bit.
Yes.
And Lord, that's all we need. It's just a teeny little bit of faith like a mustard seed. That's all we need to see you do mighty things.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, when we get past that mustard seed and get a little bitty thimble full of this stuff, we're dangerous.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you for that. But Lord, I ask you to help us, everyone in here, give us revelation, wisdom, and knowledge and understanding of your word where we don't have mustard seed faith anymore. But we've got a cup full of this stuff.
Yes, Lord.
Where we can really see you do the great and awesome things that you're worthy of.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for your word. And thank you for blessing us with it. And thank you, Lord, for saving every individual. And thank you for healing every person here that needs to be healed today. As they come forth, we pray for them, meeting every need of every person. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.